Right, we are ready whenever you are, Mayor.
Commissioner O'Donnell, are you there?
There he is.
Body and spirit.
All right. So this is Wednesday, May 20, 2020, 6 p.m. It's a work session of the Oregon City Commission. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Rachel Lyle Smith, here. Commissioner Denise McGriff,
present.
Commissioner Frank O'Donnell,
here.
Commissioner Rocky Smith,
here.
Mayor Dan Holliday,
here. Under discussion items, we have 20-254, Tri-City Water Resource Recovery Facility Outfall Project. Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Mayor and City Commission. So this is a work session tonight that's generally brought to you by the Water Environment Services. We've got a nice group of folks from Water Environment Services led by Greg Geis, who's going to take the mic first. As I understand it, he's the director of WES. Lynn Chicoine, who's the capital projects manager. Chris Story's in our audience here. So when he's ready to speak, I think he's going to come up to the mic. I noticed Jeff Stollard's name. He's the project manager for the Outfall Project. So a good cross-section of team. I would just say Don Robertson, Katie, and I have been kind of working with WES staff to kind of get to this point. Really, they want to talk to you about the project, but also talk to you about the ballot measure that they need to get on the ballot because they're proposing to do work in Johnstorm Park. So with that,
Greg, who's this Bob guy?
Bob Balgos is our staff. He's got the next topic, so I think he's just kind of making sure he's familiar with
it. Mr. Geis?
All right. Thank you, John, and good evening, Mayor Holliday and commissioners. My name is Greg Geis. I'm the director of Clackamas Water Environment Services, and we're here tonight to ask for your support to place a measure on the November ballot that would allow us to construct a second effluent pipeline from our Tri-City wastewater treatment plant underneath Johnstorm Park and to the Willamette River. As I'm sure you're well aware, doing work in, on, over, below a park within Oregon City requires the vote of the people, and so that's what we're pursuing. So tonight we want to walk you through the project and answer any questions. Before we get started, though, I wanted to thank Don and Katie and Tony and John. They've been extremely responsive and helpful as we've gone down this path. We've never done a ballot measure before, at least in recent memory. So they've been extremely helpful, and I greatly appreciate their work on this. I also want to mention that what we're talking about here is a peak wet weather issue. And the fact that you guys are going to be considering after this conversation the inflow and infiltration program for the city, they really go hand in hand. This is not a growth related issue. It's really a peak wet weather issue. So just in review, the current outfall from the Tri-City was constructed in 1984, and it's nearing capacity in those, again, peak wet weather events. That's like a peak day or a peak hour event. When we have large rain events, we have 350 miles of pipe, and those pipes sometimes leak and cause pretty high flows coming to our facility. And so a combination of building additional capacity in the form of this new outfall and reducing those inflow and infiltration amounts is the approach that we're taking kind of together. So yeah, go ahead, next slide. And as you know, in order to move forward, we need to get a public vote in order to go under Johnstorm Park. We're planning a tunneling project. We're actively working on that now and doing the soil and borings and looking at the geotechnical work and what's going on in the river. To make sure that tunnel alignment and approach is going to work well. As John mentioned, Chris Story is the deputy director of WES, is in the audience. He can help answer questions. And I'll go ahead and hand it off to Lynn Chicoine, who's WES's capital program manager, to describe the project.
For having us this evening,
Oregon City and all West ratepayers, of which I am one, expect and deserve dependable, affordable sewer service, personal health, our community's economic health, and the health of the Willamette River depend on West to treat the wastewater that we all generate and return it safely to the river. And so we plan, and we plan so that we can have the wastewater infrastructure in the ground when we need it, and we plan so we can afford projects when it's time to build them. And this outfall project is fully funded, and it's a critical component of WES's long-range capital plan. Next slide. Over the last few years, WES and our city partners, including Oregon City, have built a robust understanding of our regional wastewater issues. And one of the most important issues, as Greg says, is infiltration and inflow, or INI, and that's rainwater and groundwater that enters our sewers during wet weather. It can overwhelm the sewers, it can overwhelm the treatment plant, and we're not alone in having this problem. Every wastewater utility deals with it to some extent, and as you can imagine, that's a major issue here in the rainy Northwest. Last year, WES completed a study of our service area wastewater conveyance system, which is shown here. We identified 19 areas or basins where both water entering the sewers is excessive during wet weather, but that it's, and this is important, it's also cost effective to repair the sewers to reduce the amount of water that gets in. Everybody has work to do. Oregon City, Gladstone, Westland, Milwaukee, and WES. We're doing our part, and we have a major project underway up in the unincorporated part of the county. And as Greg mentioned, you should be proud of the leadership John Lewis and his staff have shown on this issue here in Oregon City. Next slide. Please, thank you. So why is this important, and what does it have to do with an outfall project? Well, the wettest hour or the wettest day of the year determines how big of a pipe we need for an outfall. And we design this pipe for build out conditions so that we don't have to do this again. More water in our conveyance system means a bigger outfall. This pipe will be, for the most part, running pretty low or mostly empty most of the time, but we have to build it for peak flow. This chart shows the worst case scenario. With no INI reduction, we would be building a pipe for 430 million gallons a day for a very short period of time. And as you can see, the blue line, for the most part, this flow can be attributed to the existing service area. The pipes are old and they leak. Next slide. But if we rehabilitate the leakiest of our sewers, removing 65% of rain and groundwater in those 19 basins, we only have to build an outfall for 170 MGD, down from 430. Still a big pipe. It's most likely going to be 7.5 feet in diameter. Capacity of our current outfall is 70 MGD, and it's about 6 feet in diameter. All the planning we're doing on this outfall and moving forward is predicated on removing 65% of INI in those 19 basins. And 65% is about as good as you can get on removing INI. And again, John and his group have been leaders in county and INI reduction. So we started thinking about this outfall project a couple years ago, and the first thing we did was a routing study, and knowing that there were plans around the widening of 205 and Cove development, the most critical piece of the route was this first piece closest to the plant. And we coordinated with both the Cove development folks and ODOT before we chose an alignment, this purple line that's close to 205. Having selected this route, we continue to work with ODOT on coordination of the two projects.
So where does the purple line go?
It goes from the treatment plant, and this is part of the route, and I'll show you the rest of the route, but this takes it about down to the circle near Main Street. Did I answer your question?
Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner McDonald has a question.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Those graphs show the, do they show the total contribution of all participating cities to the inflow, or were you able to break it out individually as to what Oregon City contributes versus others?
I have there, that graph shows all contributing to the service area, everybody, but I have a table that shows that breaks out what comes from the Tri-City area and what comes from the rest of the area.
I was curious what comes from Oregon City, since we're the ones that are being held responsible for mitigating the inflows.
Everybody's doing their part to mitigate the inflow.
I get that. I'm just asking, are we contributing 25%, 70%? I think it's a valid question, but obviously don't have the answer, so please proceed.
So picking up the route, we evaluated different routes from the Main Street area to the river based on cost, hydraulics, and minimizing impact to the local businesses. Most cost-effective route and the preferred alignment is that orange line. Stay away from the Oregon City Shopping Center. Clearly shorter, though less expensive, and hydraulics plays a big part in that too. Extra length means a much bigger pipe. Next slide.
Oh, back up a second.
Sure.
So you're talking about going down the Main Street extension, and then where are you going from there to get to John Storm?
I'll show you.
Yeah, I figured that.
On another slide.
Yeah.
All right, but hold on. There's another question I have after that. So you're adding several thousand feet of pipeline in Oregon City, and that's going to add to your...
No, not really, Mayor. I know where you're going with this.
Let me ask the question before you answer it, if you don't mind, sir. So the right-of-way fees, is that going to add to the right-of-way fees for Wes?
No.
I don't know the answer to that question. Chris, I'll throw that over to you or Greg.
I'm just going to, so no, because the majority of the alignment is outside the right-of-way. It's not in Oregon City's right-of-way. The cross, there's one crossing of Main Street Extension and one crossing at Clackamas Drive, but it's not going to significantly add to the right-of-way fees.
Whose right-of-way is it?
It's either West property or ODOT right away.
So all this along that's running along the Main Street extension is all ODOT property?
My recollection is I want to say there's some West property along there too, but I think it moves towards ODOT's right away.
Okay, well, I'm still a little unhappy with West for charging us a differential for our sewer customers to pay for the right-of-way fee. And that's something that we're going to take up later this year, but I just want to let you guys know I'm still unhappy about that. So you can move on.
Acknowledged, although I will note that I believe the length of pipe that we have in your right-of-way, actually, even if the entire pipe was in your right-of-way, it wouldn't make a difference because we're already above the threshold of the minimum charge. So we pay based on a percentage of the revenue in the city.
Okay.
So... you're covered. So when you wanted this slide?
Yes, thank you. So we plan to build a pipe using open cut or trenching along 205 where there's no development and in the clover leaf there with 205 we plan on our preference is to tunnel, and we're doing geotechnical work right now to confirm we can do that, and then we will tunnel from that point under the river, under Johnstorm Park and under the river. Currently doing some geotech work to see if this is feasible. And the next couple of weeks, there'll be a barge out in the Willamette River just north of the 205 bridge doing some of that exploration for us.
Another question on this slide.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Is there some reason we go to a vertical drop instead of just sloping it toward the river? Is there a geotechnical reason associated with that choice?
There is. Preliminarily, it looks like that's where we need to go to avoid cobbles and sand.
To answer your question, sir.
Why did we choose not to trench here as opposed to tunneling?
You didn't listen.
Any other motive?
Well, we would prefer to go under McLaughlin, the Clover Leaf with 205 and Johnstone Park if we can.
Okay.
Much less disruptive. So this is the rest of the route, and all of this to arrive at a point in the river that is deep and gives us excellent mixing with a stable river bottom so that the diffusers won't silt in. We looked closely at putting the pipe in the right-of-way with the 205 bridge there, but it was more expensive, and there's some uncertainty as to the schedule for that bridge work. So a preferred alignment is shown in red. Next slide. You'll see this is a cross-section of the Willamette River and shows our pipe way down at the bottom. The only thing that shows above the bottom of the river are these really heavy rubber tide flex valves is what they're called, and they open up to let the water out into the river. They'll be very, very deep. And we call them diffusers. There's going to be 18 to 20 of them. Next slide. Shows the total alignment from the treatment plant to the river, along with our existing outfall there shown in gray. We're going to keep the existing outfall for backup resiliency should we need to do any work on the new outfall. And our next steps then are to finalize the preliminary design along with the geotech work this summer, and then wait for voter approval of the easement under Johnstorm Park in November before we move into permitting and the rest of the design of the pipe. We look to do construction in 23-24.
Okay, and I believe this is where I will pick up the story. First of all, I want to acknowledge, actually on the previous slide, a truth that we're all sort of dealing with from a regulatory standpoint. You will note from where the treatment plant sits that the Clackamas River is enormously closer, right? It's right there. It's a couple hundred yards away.
Not enough water.
The Department of Environmental Quality does not allow us to discharge into the Clackamas River, which is why we're talking about this several lengths longer pipe to get over to the Willamette and having to go through a park. There is no alignment available to us that would not in some way cross a park of the city of Oregon City. So we are trying to minimize our impact to that, and our conversation with you is one of a recognition of that reality.
So somebody in the public during your public involvement process is going to ask you, why can't you discharge into the Clackamas River? So I'm sure you're prepared to answer that.
We are indeed. And indeed, in some ways, we wish we could. It would certainly make the process a whole lot easier and a whole lot cheaper. But we live within the constraints that are given us. Part of the project that we are engaged with, one, it is critical to ensure the infrastructure continues to work for our communities. One of the challenges of peak wet weather is it shows up unexpectedly, but when it does show up, you really want the system to work right. We have three different design parameters that we look at. We look at average dry weather flow to make sure we're optimizing our efficiency. We look at our solids capacity or loading, and then we look at peak wet weather. And the peak wet weather right now is a constraint in the system. The pipes can only take so much water, and when it shows up all at once, that becomes a real challenge. Right now, at the treatment plant, the flows during a weather event in the winter can be up to 8 times as large as the flows during the summer. So a lot of water shows up real quickly, and under the Clean Water Act, we are required to treat every drop. So it's not like we're going to somehow divert it or not otherwise handle it appropriately. And this outfall is, you might say, the first piece of that system to ensure that we can do that cost effectively. The outfall has to have capacity. We will be making upgrades in the future to the treatment plant to be able to handle peak wet weather. And then we'll be working with our city partners, as you'll be hearing in just a few minutes, about reducing the amount of that rainwater and groundwater that gets into the system. That is the cheapest path for our ratepayers collectively. The system is designed to not only handle peak wet weather, but we're actually relocating the outfall instead of building another one along the exact same alignment because the river is deeper back where we're hoping to discharge now, and that provides better water quality benefits. One example of this is the Clackamas and Willamette River at the junction is a cold water refugia, which is a place where migrating salmonoids go upstream and then rest before heading up further to spawn. Having an outfall, which invariably is a little bit warmer than the river because people wash clothes and take showers, means that the closer we are to that, the potential impairment there is to the fish. So we can move it a little bit further south. That's better for them. It's also better for us because when the river is deeper, you get a better current flow, and it makes sure that if there's any minor residual in the water, it is quickly washed away. Part of our commitment to the City of Oregon City for allowing us the opportunity to continue to serve all our customers and our partnership with the outfall through John Storm Park is a contribution that we have discussed, about $200,000 to support the park and natural habitat restoration. I will note this is in addition to, of course, remediation of any impact that may be caused by the construction itself. This is over and above the put it back as good as you found it rule that we would undertake as part of construction. That money would be programmed at the discretion of the city for improvement of that area. From a schedule standpoint, there's a reason why Shelley Perini is on the call and listening in. We have a robust plan for stakeholder engagement. I'll be honest, that plan has changed over the last 8 weeks. We had anticipated public forums and open houses and meet and greets, and suddenly we're talking about computer screen meetings and chit-chats from a distance. But nevertheless, we still have a robust plan to do that. And frankly, it's forcing us to be a little bit more creative. We have created a website that has information for the public. It is live and online. It is listed right there on the slide, tricityoutfall.info. We have FAQ information to your point, Commissioner McGriff, about making sure we can answer those questions to folks. We have some opportunities we hope to engage with members of the public as we go forward. Certainly our request of the city is to allow us to have this measure be placed on the ballot. That's certainly well within your authority, and our request by your staff is to allow us to partner with you to help this infrastructure project move forward. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Commissioners, in the, go ahead, Commissioner O'Donnell.
I didn't hear what the source of financing was for this project, and will there be any future impact on rates?
The source of financing is our wholesale rate. We currently have a robust capital improvement plan assembled by Lynn and her team. This project is identified within that as a project that needs to be funded. Our rate structure and you might say financial forecasting and planning allows this program to be fully funded, along with all the other projects within our five-year CIP. And we have the cash on hand, or depending on interest rates, we may borrow to make it happen. But either way, we are not contingent upon anything happening to be able to execute.
So you do not you don't expect any impact on future rates as a result of this project in plain language?
Well, I would, anytime you spend money, you are going to gather that money for rates.
Remember, Chris is a lawyer, so he's not going to answer the question outright.
No, what I'm going to say is it's not an extraordinary impact, but I'm not singling it out. There's no rate component for this project. There's a rate component for funding the entire capital improvement program, and this is part of that. So we haven't parsed it out down to the specific project level.
Is that it, Commissioner?
Once again, I go back to the equity piece of it. It would be interesting to know. I think Oregon City has led every other city, thanks to John Lewis's efforts in making a determination of I&I, and we just lumped everything together. I would be curious. I mean, if we're a 25% contributor, it would be interesting to know versus that we're, as opposed to if we were the major contributor in the area. That's my final statement. Thank you.
Commissioner Smith.
So first, I want to comment on the questions and comments from Commissioner O'Donnell. Those are questions we've been asking for a decade. And I don't know that Oregon City has ever gotten clear answers from WES on our share of wastewater from Oregon City specifically in a real clear fashion. And so all of those issues we've been talking about for the last decade with equality and governance have all been about that. So I'll just voice that concern right off the bat, as I have for the last 10 years. The other concern that I have is some of the public outreach and a question that I have that I think goes back to, there's two pieces here, partly the WES project, but also the WES project being kind of coordinated with some of the other projects in the area. One of the projects that we have going on in the Oregon City area is the widening of I-205, which was mentioned. Unfortunately, I didn't ask these questions when ODOT came to us to ask for a similar use of John Storm Park, and so I want our city staff and our city manager to listen to these questions regarding the WES project, because I'd actually like those questions answered for the ODOT project as well. And the question goes to partly public outreach and also archaeological studies. There was a, as far as my recollection, there was a archaeological study when John Storm Park was built that actually raised some issues regarding that site. In fact, I think the construction of the park was actually put on hold to some degree because of it. And I wonder if any of the key stakeholders that you've reached out to include the tribes.
Yes, they do. We have, I think next week we're meeting with the tribe.
So we don't know if they have any concerns about this.
We haven't had a specific feedback from them. They are certainly on our list of first people to contact. We actually, our initial contact was with the Rivershore Hotel and the marina business owners. They were the first people that we thought were likely to be impacted, but we have been trying to schedule meetings and are indeed meeting with the tribe. And to the extent we hear of any concerns from them, we will happily both respond to them and share that concern with the city.
Commissioner Smith?
What?
I'm
far from finished.
Hang on. I just wanted to, one second, one at a time, and I'm going first. Commissioner Smith, I have a meeting with Chairman Kennedy next week, probably Tuesday, so I'll make sure I ask that question as well.
Okay. The reason that this concerns me greatly is we know that that site is a very important site. I have done a lot of research in Oregon City in the last year or so. There is, at least according to some of my research, very important native sites there. And also, we also know that that is the site that George Abernathy's house was built on. So any tunneling or digging in that entire area, I think is going to raise some real concerns with me about the process and about what is going to be done if and when we hit or dig up any artifacts or tunnel any artifacts out. I also think that this, there's a concern that I have about this barge already coming in the next couple of weeks to do drilling off off the bank of the park before the tribes have even really had a say in this. So I think that worries me. And I would say that worries me in terms of also the project that we're doing with the state that we really didn't ask that question on. The other thing, let's see. There's a mention that there would be added enhancements that were identified by PRAC. Do we know what those are?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat the question?
There was mention that there would be enhancements done to the park at the request of PRAC that were identified, but yet I have not seen what those are.
PRAC has not been able to meet during this time since we have first learned of this project. And I do know that they have been provided the information, but have not had time to meet to discuss what they would like to see come forth through this project. I do know that they will be taking a look at the park's master plan to see if there were trails or habitat restoration in that area or in surrounding areas that the money could be used for. But I think that was going to be a discussion with PRAC first.
Is Mr. Robertson on?
He's not at this time.
Okay.
Okay, so there's two key components of the public process that haven't been able to be really dealt with because of the situation we're at with COVID. So I think, you know, moving forward and getting a blessing to put this on the ballot before we have the public outreach process, I think is fairly unrealistic. So if the public process is being pushed back, then the ballot measure needs to be pushed back.
Katie, what is the what is the timeline to get something on the November ballot? What's the last date?
It would be probably our last meeting in July or first meeting in August.
Okay.
And that's pushing it.
Anything else, Commissioner Smith?
Not at the moment.
Commissioner Lyle-Smith?
May I?
Go ahead. Ms. Coyne?
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to note that we have permits for the brief work on the river, and as part of those permits, there was a public notification process. We have an archaeological study as part of the outfall scope to do. We're happy to share the results of that study. Some work was done by ODOT. In addition, the pipe, as planned, will be 70 feet below the park.
Okay, thank you.
Taking those things into account, and we are communicating with the tribes. The meeting schedule just hasn't taken place yet.
Commissioner Lossman.
Thank you. I'll start with addressing some of the comments by Commissioner Smith. Regarding the outreach, I guess my take on it is, I'm fine with us moving forward knowing that outreach is going to happen, because truthfully we're just a checkpoint, and the voters are going to determine, one, how well your outreach is and whether or not they like the project. This isn't really, I don't feel like, an Oregon City Commission decision that we're making. I feel like we're kind of a little bit of a pass-through to the Oregon City residents who are going to make the decision as to whether or not, one, you've done a good job on your outreach, and two, if you haven't, I'm sure the tribes will probably submit something, and will probably be pretty vocal about that. So at least that's my hope, and so that's kind of my viewpoint on that, though. But I mean, we always want good public involvement and public outreach, so that kind of goes without saying. So my only comments were about your measure explanatory statement. And so these are just kind of my general thoughts. So it's a long statement. People may not read the whole thing. And when I look at this project, I think there's three questions or three groups that you need to address, right? So you're gonna have the environmental folks that are gonna be concerned about the discharge into the river, right? So handling that is probably pretty key, and making statements about that is up front is pretty key. The other folks are going to be the parks folks who are going to be concerned about the disruption to the park and the return to its condition and the easements and stuff like that. The other piece is the people who think about the cost and does this cost me more money? And when I read the statement, to me, that piece isn't really clear. Now, granted, we're not looking at the whole pamphlet and all that material, but when I look at that, I read it and I go, this isn't clear to me. If you're asking me to fund a construction project, is it going to cost me money? So this is just some feedback. I think that piece should be really clear if you want it to be successful as to whether or not Oregon City residents, if you're asking them to cough up money if they vote yes. And so that's just some feedback when I read it. I know we've had some experience, and there are some challenges with ballot language. And so when I read it, I mean, those were the points that came to mind that you want to be really explicit about, because if you're not clear, people won't vote for it, even if it's a good project.
Commissioner McGriff?
Yes, thank you. The question that I had is that, do you have a chart showing the wet weather sort of highs and lows? I think, you know, you spoke quite a bit about it, but it's not really explained what you're talking about. So I think visually that would be good. If you had that, that would be good information to give the public, saying, you know, this is when this happens and here's how it's been going, you know, because I'm assuming mm-hmm. it's going to be like this.
Very much
it's going to go jump up and down. I think the other thing is that Commissioner Smith already brought up is that I too am aware of the fact that that was a gathering site for not only the First Peoples, but people that came in on the trail, and you don't know what we might find there. So you're covering your bases on doing archaeological work and any other, you know, historic resources that might be affected. I know that they just the other day in the paper, they said they dug down 80 feet and found some old Roman road in Italy that they found pieces of it down there. I mean, the guy was standing in the trench. You couldn't even see the guy. That's how far down they were going. I also don't have any concern about when the outreach will take place. As long as that's in process and we're moving ahead with that, that's perfectly reasonable. I agree with Commissioner Lyle Smith that the statement is really long, and I sat at home trying to break it into maybe three sentences, you know, by putting some periods somewhere so that it would, you know, you could read X, and then, so maybe that's something to look at. I know that her statement about if it's too long, people aren't going to read it, and that would be my concern, and they'll get to part of it, and if they don't, you know, they'll just go no or whatever. I think there are, I think you put the nail on the head, Commissioner Lawsmith, as far as the groups that might be concerned, the environmental parks, and then people who think this might cost them money. But I think there's also a fourth group. It's all the historic preservation folks that are out there going, whoa, you know, we know events occurred. And Commissioner Smith was, thank you for bringing up the fact that that's where George Abernathy's, one of his homes was at one time. So I think you've got, you know, four constituents and broader constituent groups that are those four, plus our general public. So I think maybe pointing out, you know, how you're, you know, addressing some of those groups. And we've got a lot, you know, the city's going to be very helpful to you, I'm assuming, in reaching out to, for instance, our partners at the Museum of the Oregon Territory, even some of the folks who are on mailing lists for the end of the Oregon Trail and trying to, you know, help in that way. So I think, you know, you'll be covering your bases.
I believe that Shelley Perini's video is not showing right now because she's taking furious notes to make sure that we're covering all of this in our aggressive outreach plan.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else?
I do want to thank you for the time to come and have this conversation with you. I think you've raised some very good points. First of all, I appreciated and frankly hadn't quite understood the scope that Lynn and her group had already recognized the potential historical impact of this, and that was part of the work stream. We are at the very early stages of this conversation. This ballot measure is the first part, but like we noted, the construction wouldn't happen until 2023, so we're going to have a lot of time to make sure that we are thorough and that if there is any potential impact to a historical artifact, that would be addressed well before there are any sort of impairments or construction that could interfere.
Mr. Geist, do you have anything else?
No, I just wanted to reiterate thank you to the Oregon City staff on helping us put this together, and I look forward to your support.
Nice to see him. I've not met you before, so hello.
Hello.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen, ladies, and we'll move on.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Mr. Lewis, are you going to have time to do this particular subject justice in 15 minutes?
We're going to do our best.
Well, I don't want to hear that. Either you can or you can't. If you can't, let's move it to another agenda.
We're going to have to move it.
Okay. Then we'll move that. We'll come back in right at 7 o'clock for the commission meeting. We're adjourned. What?
I was going to have James come in real quick.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Have Mr. Graham come in.
Well, I was looking forward to hearing that because we've heard most of this before, so.
Well, we'll get to hear it another time.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Sir.
Sorry. My understanding was that we were going to have some, I don't know, a poll of whether to support the ballot measure. Is that not correct?
We generally don't do polling in a work session. That's very close to voting. I think that I can give you my assessment that there's probably enough support to move this forward, as long as you answer a couple of those questions.
Okay, thank you. And my understanding is it will be on the consent agenda for June 3rd.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Graham.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of City Commission, City Manager, ladies and gentlemen. I'm James Graham, Economic Development Manager for Oregon City. And it's my pleasure to present to you the program summary for the Oregon City Business Debt Relief Program. And as you know, on April 27th of this year, the Oregon City Commissioners approved this initiative and also agreed to provide $200,000 from the general fund to capitalize the program. Applications and program information were in English and in Spanish. The purpose of the program certainly was to relieve the debt pressures of our applicants, and those grant awards went directly to the creditor. In order to be eligible, there were a number of criteria that we had to look at. Businesses with up to 15 full-time employees, including the owners, operations within commercially zoned buildings within the city limits of Oregon City. Businesses had to prove that they had some type of income loss, total income loss, due to the COVID-19 virus. Businesses had to be in operation for at least 1 year with a current business license as of March 23rd, 2020. You needed to be an independently owned and operated small business as well as a tenant. The enterprise had to, as a business, you could not have any illegal activity liens against you imposed by any governmental entity. Businesses had to comply with local, state, and federal guidelines regarding social distancing and other aspects of the situation to avoid COVID-19 virus. And various forms of business were involved and allowed to apply, except for franchises and chain stores. Now, as you know, we accepted applications on May 4th. And at first, it was my understanding, we prepared for people possibly coming in, handing in their applications, as well as you could do the applications online. We were surprised to find out that There were people lined up at 4 o'clock in the morning instead of six. I learned that just recently. And the grant awards were up to $3,000. The total amount of request, the total request of this program from various applicants totaled a little over $290,000. The total request denied was $106,000 approximately. We awarded $183,000 in grant funds. The total number of applications we received was 113. The number of approved awardees, 78. The number of denied applications, 35. The percentage of sole proprietors that applied for this program was 13%. And so after all is said and done, we actually had available funds in the amount of a little over $16,000. In terms of the type of debt that we saw in the entire array of applications, applicants seeking debt relief from utilities, 2.9% of those individuals or those businesses applied. 78% sought debt relief from rent. 14% sought debt relief from credit cards. 3.9% sought debt relief from subcontractor work. And 1.2% sought debt relief from commercial liability insurance. As we review these applications, I'd like to share with you some insights in terms of the type of applicant or some of the things that we noticed that the applicants were having trouble with. For instance, 27% of the business applicants did not use profit and loss statements to run their business. And also 27% of didn't really understand what a profit and loss statement was. 34% of the business applicants were not familiar with a W-9. 21% of the business applicants had leases that were not up to date, not signed, handwritten notes on them that changed the terms of the lease without all the parties agreeing to them. So that was some important insight, I think, that we will certainly share with the Small Business Development Center and others that actually provide assistance directly to businesses with such issues. We certainly like this type of initiative takes, it took a village, quite frankly. And we certainly want to thank you, the Oregon City Commissioners, the Oregon City Manager, Matthew Weintraub, Tourism Specialist, Lori Bell, Economic Development Coordinator, Kristen Brown, Public Information Officer, Laura Turway, Community Development Director, Pete Walter, Senior Planner, David Knoll, Information Technology Supervisor, Wyatt Parno, Finance Director, Erwin Wilkie, Senior Accountant, Bethany Jones, Senior Accounting Technician, Lorelei McCaffrey, Senior Accountant, Angela Hartman, Office Specialist, Diana Long, Office Specialist, Charlie Killian, Assistant City Recorder, Katie Riggs, our City Recorder, Eric Harms, IT Technician, Greg William, Library Director, Oregon City Chamber of Commerce, and the Downtown Oregon City Association. So you can see a lot of people were involved in this initiative, and I'm very pleased to provide you with this report.
Thanks for the update. Anybody have any questions?
Yes, Mayor Holliday, I do.
Go ahead.
Mr. Graham, did we have an issue with people not having business licenses as one of the criteria that we were asking people to comply with?
Yes, we did.
And what was the percentage of that?
Actually, that was about 6%.
So we have hopefully informed our folks that they need to have a business license?
Yes.
Did they get copies of a business license so they could apply?
Well, they were told about the business license process and that they needed to have a business
strongly encouraged to have one,
and provided a license, not a license, but an application.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Commissioner O'Donnell, you had something?
Just briefly, I want to congratulate Mr. Graham and the entire team that he named on how this program was formulated and executed. I know he didn't speak to it, but I know the checks were so expeditiously delivered. He did it in just light speed between the time the awards were determined and the time they were delivered. He didn't mention that, but I wish he would, because he also deserves credit for that, as does the entire staff he named.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Smith, you have something?
No, I mean, I will just thank everyone that worked on this project. I think it was very exciting. I know that we have received a lot of emails from businesses who are thankful for the help. And so I'm just glad that the city was in a position to be able to do this.
Commissioner Smith.
Yes. So I agree with the comments. Kudos to you and the team. I know it was a lot of hard work, very quick work. So good job. Is there any plans for the $16,000 that didn't get spent? Are we reaching out to anybody, or?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because there are plans. What we, in an upcoming meeting, what we intend to do is ask the commissioners to approve using the balance of that money, in addition to a little over $3,000, so that we have $20,000 to provide and develop a gift card program. Now, this gift card program will also be part of a tourism-related program, a new program under tourism. And you'll hear more about this tourism-related program at the next meeting, but it's a perfect type of complement to that program, and you'll see why.
Okay.
Okay.
And to echo all the comments, thanks for your great work and the work of city staff. And we're going to adjourn until about 10 after 7.
Yep. Thank you again.
Thank
that
you.
Was awesome.